It is recording. Can you call it now?
Yes, Honourable Terriers is right, Honourable Kasuba. I did check with the committee section management. That is practice that the whip is usually elected, but we have to call officially for the election of an acting chairperson. Yeah.
Welcome to everybody. Can we start the meeting? Is there any apologies? We know the apology of the chairperson. Any other apologies?
Thank you, Chair. We received an apology from Honourable Mudabasi, a standing apology from Honourable Tobijani and Honourable Tinto, as well as an apology from Honourable Tobranche and Honourable Killian and Honourable Oriani Ambrosini. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we then start with the first item on the agenda, consideration of the Van der Rede Van Oudtshoorn special petition, praying for pension. The briefing.
Chair, thank you. I will very shortly just refer again to the documents, because I think quite extensive documents have been submitted to the committee for this specific case. In short, it boils down to the fact that Mrs. Van Rede van Oudtshoorn was an employee of the department, state department, for a period of more than 10 years, of which some of the time she was in a temporary capacity. With the result is that at the end of her, when she was going on the retirement, the full term of her employment was not taken into consideration. Although she was aware of the situation before she went on retirement, she did discuss it with her head of her office, which has also confirmed the situation. Apparently, at that time, there was some confusion of whether she needed to be longer employed to make up the 10 years, or if she could, or the temporary period could be taken into account. Secondly, or thirdly, whether she could contribute for the rest of the outstanding amount of years. Now, in her endeavor after, okay, let me just rather say this. Eventually, then she retired in July or October, in June, 30th of June 2010. The documents that she needed to submit was not really in full available at that time, or there was also some confusion around that. And then after retirement, she obviously submitted all the forms. And then at that time only, she was made aware of the fact that the temporary employment period was not taken into account for the permanent period that she needed to be in employed to make up the 10 years. Obviously, it was a surprise to her because of the fact that in January also, in that same year, she already started to make inquiries to the head of her office, which then referred the matter apparently to the regional manager, which confirmed that she need not worry. At that time, actually, it was indicated to her that she could already retire because of the fact that she's already been employed for more than 10 years. Eventually, to cut a long story short, because everything is in writing, when she submitted the forms, it was she only realized, and it was then pointed out that she needed to be employed for 10 years in a permanent capacity. But at that time, also she was also made to understand that she could then contribute for the outstanding 3 months. In the end, after all the consultations was done, retirement and monthly retirement that was then refused. So she sat with a situation where there was quite a lot of confusion around it, and she wasn't. Informed properly by her head of her own department as well as the regional head, and then she started to pursue some avenues to try and solve the problem. She went to the CCMA, to the public protector, but both of them indicated that the government have not jurisdiction over the government situation. So, as a last resort, she has now drawn up this petition. Why I'm representing her, because she's in my constituency, and we submitted the evidence as well as the affidavits that was attached to it, also the period that she was temporarily employed, as well as a salary at that time, and what resulted in the termination of her contract. So what we have before us, Chair, I think is a case of a situation where this staff member is actually a single person at this stage. She's in an old age home. And obviously her financial situation is not very, very, very good, and she relies on a monthly income from a pension situation as she was supposed to have. And what we are asking is that consideration be given to this position of her. Eventually she is prepared to pay in the 3 months contribution that she needed to become a full-time 10 years employment contract, and to make up for it. That was the understanding in the beginning, apparently, that was the case. So I don't know if there's any other questions or outstanding issues that we might maybe pursue, but in very brief terms, referring to the documents as well, I think that is the story. And I would really, on her behalf, very strongly ask that this committee give her the benefit of the doubt of the dispute that has arose from this employment situation.
Thank you very much, Dr. Osman. We have now received the briefing. Can I hear any comments on the briefing itself? There is also a document that was distributed by the committee secretary from the Department of Justice, as well as communication from the National Treasury addressing the issue. So if honourable members can just have a look at that as well. Honourable Pretorius? Yeah, you've just kicked it out.
Mine is just for clarity purposes. Maybe Dr. Bisman can assist us here. If I read the documentation, it appears to me that the only mistake she made was not to buy back the 3 months of service while she was an employee of the civil service when she was working. Because in terms of the government employees pension fund, you're entitled to buy back service to make up your full 10 years. So, and there seems to have been some misunderstanding between her and some officials at the time, whether she was entitled to do it before she retires or whether she can do it afterwards. And I think that to me is the crux of the matter. There is now communication back from some official, I think it's the official who was involved, who was a supervisor at the time, who said that, who now denies that communication took place. And if I read the document from the mother and the daughter, then it appears that there's a different opinion of what actually transpired in that discussion. Dr. Bosman also indicated that they've tried certain certain avenues like the CCMA and also the pension fund adjudicator, both indicated that they don't have jurisdiction over this matter. The question then arises, what is last resort before you actually take the avenue of petition? And at the previous meeting, Mr. Roda indicated to us that a court is definitely your last resort. So I want to put the question on the table again in this instance. Are we really expecting people to go to the courts? Even in this case, it's a person with probably not with the means to fight a court case. Are we expecting people to go to the court before we can actually ourselves propose something as a petition? Maybe the legal advice can assist us further here. Is it a rigid rule that in all cases the final hurdle must be the courts before we can come into the picture?
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know whether it's the first time you get this briefing, but for me, because it's the first time, I would like to find out just the clarity question. Was she told before she was she retired that if she needs to get the pension, she must buy? Was she told before she retired, or she wasn't told, and now it's a problem? They told her when she was just retiring.
Thanks, Chairperson. As I was listening, I heard that the financial situation is explained that the lady's financial situation is not good. I'm just wondering as to how then she'll be able to pay back, to buy back that 3 months so that she becomes permanent for her beneficiary, for her benefit.
Dr. Bosman, you're making notes of these because I want the Honourable Kawai to ask a question as well.
Just to check, I'm also looking at the note from Treasury because one would want to understand if, in terms of government itself, I hear she has gone to the CCMA, which I don't think it belongs, the case that belongs to the CCMA. But in terms of from government side, the National Treasury, for example, this note that was sent to the chairperson, they said they're looking into the matter. I don't know if this is the latest that we have, that Treasury has not pronounced itself on the matter. Because if not, I would want us to give that Treasury an opportunity. And I hear what you're saying, Honourable Member, in terms of us having to wait for people that might be people who might not be able to afford to go to the courts. Maybe what we should be able to do is to propose an amendment to the rules. I mean, when rules sit, in terms of the rules that govern or that guides us as a committee, to say we should be able to maybe given a space to indicate or be able to evaluate when a person we can be able to intervene, because not every citizen, they come to Parliament because we are their representatives. And if we are to send them to courts, it might be difficult. I hear what you're saying. But I think the route we must start taking as this committee as a way forward is to get the rules amended, especially that clause that speaks about somebody would have to have exhausted all avenues. I think we need to find a way of, find a way of crafting that specific part, that specific clause that allows us, because once we jump that now, it will create problems. It's something that might create problems for us. But if we go to the amendment, it might help us when joint rules sit, then when rules sit, NA rules, because it's on the NA rules, then it can assist us. Thanks. But just, I'm just concerned about this Treasury part of it.
I'm going to give Dr. Bosman an opportunity to respond to the questions, then legal to respond to the issue of the last resort. But I also think we must take note of the letter from Treasury or the email from Treasury, and specifically the last sentence from Treasury saying that they will respond soonest and that we give them that opportunity. We can ask the committee secretary to follow up with them again. Dr. Bosman.
Thank you, Chair. I think the questions for clarity, I think it will be helpful. First of all, the first question around whether she was informed or actually did she know about the situation. And from her affidavits, and when I spoke to her also, it was quite clear that she knew about the procedures of retirement and what then has to happen about that. Because in January of 2010, she already made inquiries about the position, her position, when should she retire, to have the full term of the 10 years applicable, attached to her employment. And at that time, as I say, there was a confusion from her own head of her office, as well as the regional manager. And the regional manager, I think this letter comes from the regional manager, Mr. Tobayani. He was not her office manager. Her office manager was Mrs. Johanna Bertina Mudlochi. And they both indicated to her that as far as they... their interpretation of the rules are that she has already completed 10 years and that she could already retire. But then she carried on until she reached her retirement age, because, I mean, that is when you really normally should retire. But at that time, she still lacked 3 months, and she knew it on her what you call it, permanent employment. But she also inquired whether it was possible to then buy back the contributions of the retirement. And it was confirmed to her that she would be able to be in a position to buy back the 3 months. When she retired, apparently, the confusion started, because she was not in a position to fill in the forms at the time. So the forms was only filled in after retirement. And when the forms were submitted, then the head of offices, obviously in the region, or wherever it is adjudicated, then decided that no, the temporary employment was not allocated to a permanent position and that she needed 3 months. But they, at that time, told her that it was too late for her to then contribute the 3 months, which is actually where the confusion started, because she was aware of it, that she was supposed to pay the 3 months, and she wanted to pay the 3 months. If it was applicable, but she was all along being informed that it was not the case. So eventually, when all the appeals that she had to the department failed, then she only started to try and go to the CCMA and the other avenues that was available, and it was turned down on the fact that she did not, at the time of retirement, then bought into the 3 months so that she could have them all allocated together. But I think the confusion also with her is now that although she was advised that it need not be paid, now it is a requirement, and they say that it is too late to pay it. She cannot now pay it back to fill the complete term. So I think somewhere along the line, although I see that Mr. What is his name, Tobayani, is saying that he cannot recall it, the head of her office spoke to Mr. Tobayani, and she can, if it's necessary, she can maybe make an affidavit.
Doctor, I think that answers the question that was asked by Honorable Sisibo.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go into the rest of the detail again. Can you just answer then the question around the affordability?
Yeah, the
before he answers, can I make a
was there anything written down the time they made this arrangement that there's no need? Is there anything
It was a verbal discussion with her head of her office, and between Mr. Tobayani, and the consultation was between them. So it was a verbal conversation and information given. The financial position, obviously, she's got kids, and her daughter is apparently prepared to pay in the difference. And I think we should maybe take note of it, so that they would like to support her as far as that is concerned, to be independent as well. As far as the court situation is concerned, I really don't think that people, you know, in her position as a clerk, I think she earned, I don't know what the final salary was, but she started off with about 3,000 rands per month. It's not a huge sum of money, and that is not really a possibility for them to pursue that case.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. this is not the practice requiring that all methods have. It's actually stated in the definition section of a petition in the rule. However, it's become more of a practice, but I know of circumstances in other countries, and particularly in the UN as well, where it's applied very subjectively. So if you have exhausted all means or all avenues which you can afford, then it is seen as exhausting all means. So if she cannot, in this particular situation where the petitioner cannot afford to exhaust all possible means, all the means that are available to her or that she can afford would be seen as meeting the requirements. But that would be a resolution that needs to be taken by the committee itself.
Thank you, members. Can we move off this item, sir, and I will summarize as follows, is that we wait for the response of Treasury. First of all, but secondly, that we at some point put on the agenda the issue of what does it mean to have looked at all avenues before you petition, and that we make a suggestion to the Rules Committee if we so decide as a committee, so that that point do not get lost and we can put it on the agenda. Dr. Bosman, thank you very much for that.
Shall we perhaps maybe... do we know the time frames from the Treasury so that we at least estimate?
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Kabari, the Treasury indicated that they should be able to respond to the committee by the 27th of July if everything goes according to plan.
We'll just ask the Secretary to keep an eye on that, and maybe a week before the time just remind them that they owe us a response as well. Okay, then the fourth item on the agenda, honourable members, is the review and adoption. Yeah, I feel it's ice cold here. The review and adoption of the report on the Munasur special petition praying for pension. Can we look at that first of all? Members got the documentation. Which one is that now? Okay. It looks like this. No, the report. The report on the Munasur petition. Can we have a look at that? Members, can we have a look at that, and can we just discuss if that members have the opportunity to read through it? Yeah. Okay. Can we get comments from members or a mover for adoption?
I move for adoption, Chair.
And what could I move for adoption, seconder? Thank you very much, members. That's been adopted. Then the sessional report, it's almost time for the next sessional report and we haven't adopted the previous one, so can we have a look at that one? I presume members had an opportunity to go through it. This is the report that looks like this one. Again, I'm open for comments. Can we go page by page, page one? Which is actually page 2, yeah. Page 3. Page numbers. Page 1 is the one that we have. Page 2 is now there. Can I ask members to ignore the numbers at the bottom of the page? We start with this page as page 1. Then page 2 is the one that says at the top support staff. Any comments on page 2?
No, comment on page 1.
I see my name there. When was this meeting?
Honourable Fusibo, it's the last session's report, so you were still a member of the committee at that stage. Okay.
Yes. If you note, member, if your name, for example, there would be a number, and then there's an explanation at the bottom. For example, where it says number 4, discharged from the committee announcing the ATC of Tuesday, 8 February 2011. So it's got a footnote that explains. For example, even with me, it says that this is when I joined the committee. So at least those footnotes help us to track what the changes that happened in the committee. Okay.
Can we move then to page 2, which is at the top support stop, Mr. Pituage?
Ach, yes, minor language thing. Paragraph 3, core objective 1, the second line there, and supported the National Assembly Rules Committee with its approval, not their approval.
Page 3. Anything else on page 3?
Interpretation is correct. The 4.1 at the bottom, the numbers there, the number of approved meetings, 8, number of meetings successfully held, 9, and not cancelled, 1. Shouldn't the 8 and 9 be changed around?
Yeah. Anything else on page 3? Can we move to page 4? Can I just say the page layout will be... Can we just say that don't worry about page layout and things, it's because of the printing that will be addressed. The next page, the one that says at the top legislative proposals and special petitions, it starts with 6.
In that 6.1 paragraph, the third line, November 2010, is another, I've scratched out, what is it, a 1 or an 0 or something?
Away from the... Anything else on that page? The last page? Any comments on that page? Yeah, it's a bit difficult to read. Can I? Is it necessary that we be taken through it?
The last line in 6.3, the committee is scheduled to deliberate on so-and-so. Shouldn't it be, you know, we're agreeing to this today, and then the committee was probably scheduled to deliberate. Am I correct?
Do members want to be taken through that last, if the committee secretary can read it, do you want to be taken through the budget, the point 7?
Thank you, Chair. As the committee had no oversight responsibilities and no study tours or fact-finding sessions were undertaken, we didn't use any of the budget for travel. So most of the budget was used to pay for the committee's training sessions, committee meetings, catering. That was set out there as well as when necessary gifts, plants, or flowers and cards of condolence, which we used twice. Catering was the main one, which I think was the 10,000 and the 8,000, depending on whether you're doing catering from outside or inside, that is split up. The catering from outside, when we went to Townhouse Hotel for the training sessions, then would have been as an additional one. Catering in-house was 5,000. Catering services outside was 7,000. Eventually, because the committee didn't use as such a big part of its budget as other committees see for traveling, we ended up with an available budget at the end of about 70,000.
Does that answer questions in the minds of members in terms of it not being visible? Can we then, if there's no comment on it, can I get a mover for adoption with the necessary changes to the document?
Sorry? Yes, I move with the correction.
Okay. Honourable Sasiba moving for adoption with amendment. Seconded? Honourable Pretoria seconding.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that one. The revised fact sheet, one private members' legislative proposals. It's item C, 4C. The one with the graphics on it. That's the right one, yes. Honourable members, we need to adopt this in order for it to go onto Parliament's website. It's in your documentation that that's got your agenda on the top of it. It's in that documentation to members who are still looking for it. It's got Parliament's letterhead on top and the graphics. Oh, okay, sorry. So that's not going to help. Have you got it, members?
Yes.
Okay, sharing the... Okay, again, I think what we should do is that members have an opportunity to go through it. Can I then ask again that we do it page by page and we can just adopt this page one? No, nothing to change. Page two? Yes, sure.
The last paragraph, the Committee on Private Members.
Thank you for raising that, Honourable Tourius. The reason why it still says is required to consult is because we're awaiting the National Assembly's approval of the Rules Committee's report. Officially changing the rules. The fact sheet as it states or as it is drafted reflects the rules and not the resolution of the committee. We adopted the Rules Committee's report as a resolution of the committee, but until final adoption by the House, it doesn't amend the rules.
Honourable Kubain?
Yeah, maybe then it will assist us because we are adopting that rules this afternoon in the National Assembly. So I don't know whether it will help, because what I would say as a request is that because you're adopting that, let's amend and saying that we are amending this. It must be published as it appears on the rules which will be adopted by the House, so that we don't have to come back and re-adopt because the rules have been adopted in the National Assembly.
Can we agree with that suggestion? And then we can just ask the committee secretary to make sure that there is no tsunami this afternoon or something happening that we don't stop it, and then make the necessary changes in that regard as well. Then we look at page 3 of this document. Anything on that? Nothing. Can we then ask for a mover for adoption? Honourable Pretorius is moving for adoption. Can we get a seconder? Honourable Sasiba seconding. Honourable Sasiba is very busy today.
I
Thank you very much for that, honourable members. The last issue that we need to look at is the outstanding minutes for the 16th March. Well, let's take them one by one. 16th March, outstanding minutes. Memory. Do you have in front of you the 16th March? Any comment on that? Okay, 16th March. Anybody want to comment there? Nothing? Okay, can we then ask for a mover for adoption? Honourable Kubai moves. Seconder? Seconder?
Aye.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Okay. Thank you. The minutes of the 23rd of March, please. Again, page 1, any comments? Nothing. Page 2. Nothing. Page 3. Honourable members, am I moving too quick or can we move for adoption? Honourable Pretorius? With that suggestion, I see nobody against that suggestion. Can we then ask for a mover for adoption for this? Honourable Kubai, Honourable Pretoria is seconding. Thank you very much. 30th of March. Nothing, page 3. That's, with other words, the last page. Can we have, if there's no comments, can we have a mover, please?
Chairperson, I move forward for the adoption.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. A seconder? Seconded, thank you very much. It's then adopted. 13th of April. Just the very next one. It's just a one pager. None of us will see. Yeah. The two of you have got to look at this now. It's just one page. Can we ask you to have a look at it? Okay. Okay. Can we just then just ask from the members who were here whether we can have them, if there's any comment. If not, if we can have a mover and a seconder. Honourable, is moving. Small is seconding. Thank you. Thank you, members. 30th of April. Can we? You don't have 30. I don't know, I've got the wrong one. 21st May. Was it? Sorry. I'm confused myself. The 25th of May. 25th of May. Page 1.
Can I just get a question of my?
Page 2. The last page. No comment. Can we get a mover for adoption with the amendment correction of the surname? Honourable Kamalo is moving, and Honourable Pretorius, can I get seconds from you? Thank you very much. Then the one of the 1st of June, also a short one, not too long. First page. Page 2. Can we get a mover for adoption? Honourable Goodbye move. Seconder. Honourable Mosiano seconding. Thank you. Can we then go to the 8th of June, which I believe is the last one that we have to adopt? Again, page 1. Page 2, which is also the last page of this one. There's no comment. Can I get a mover for adoption for the 8th of June's agenda? A minute. Yeah, sure. Are there any objections to that? I think it also... I know, I agree with... that was what was said, and what it's also covered that she went further to say, and some of it is in legislation that are being considered. So I think it's a more correct reflection. Can I get a mover for this minutes with that change?
I move for that.
Thank you very much. Seconder? Thank you very much. Seconded as well. Honourable members, that brings us at the end of this meeting. Thank you very much for your patience with my confusion. Thank you very much. And enjoy the day.
Just before you
yes.
I just want to encourage what was done by the head of this committee, that over and above that messages are sent for us as members to attend the meeting. But I think it was important, and it is, I mean, appreciated that she encouraged her secretary to phone each one of us, because some of us, our PAs doesn't do what they're supposed to be, even to get information practically in your office to see whether you have the message, what meetings do you have, at what time. You don't have that sometimes. We seem to be absenting ourselves in the meetings, but we don't have information. I'm encouraging that if you can keep that up so that we are aware what when does the meeting, I mean, sit. That's my piece.
Also, I would like to
Members, thank you very much for that. We will encourage the secretary to keep our age in consideration when printing. And secondly, also, I think the notices per SMS is really assisting members. And thank you very much for that. And we can agree with that. Thank you very much, members. Thanks. Thank you.